Have a few minutes? You won't believe what you can do with it. Open a Regions checking account online in as little as 5 minutes. Then enjoy award-winning service and banking tools and tech that help you live in the moment. Learn more at regions.com/liveinthemoment. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio is presented by Regions Bank. Brave the beginning. Member FDIC.
Well, greetings, everybody. Harper LaBelle here with you, and welcome to another episode of Gwinnett Business Radio X. I look forward to our guest today, Takiya Geralds, who will be with us in just a second. I am flying solo. Stephen is not with us here today, but Mike Salmon is operating from behind the glass, and he is our engineer here today. So Mike is always with us, but I will be flying solo, with the exception of having Takiya with us. And I want to let you guys know we've got a very interesting guest. You're really going to like her, and she is amazing. Her husband, Devrin, who I met at the chamber meeting, will not be with us today. There was a death in the family, and Takiya, you know that he would probably want to take most of the airtime. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not that I'm going to say everything, but you know, now most women speak more than men. So is that an issue for the two of you guys every now and then? Like, who's going to get to do more of the communications?
Depending on the circumstance, I'll nudge him and like, hey, you go.
Oh, there you go. Well, good for you.
You take control.
It's a great partnership, and we're going to find out a little bit more about it in just a second. But first, let's talk a little bit about one of our sponsors, Subaru of Gwinnett. If you're looking for a new or previously enjoyed vehicle, and you're making those final decisions, but you haven't considered looking at a Subaru yet, please do. You can enjoy the huge savings and hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people help you fall in love with their cars. SubaruofGwinnett.com. Join their family today. Come on in and see the difference. Go online. Again, new, previously enjoyed. They have all kinds of different vehicles at a price range that would help fit within your budget. Subaru of Gwinnett. Well, Takiya Geralds is a part of Turnaround Community Outreach, and it is a mental health service and a facility that helps take care of people here in the Gwinnett area. We'll talk a little bit about that, but first, Takiya, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here today.
And thank you for having me.
And I know the circumstances are a little different with a death in the family, so again, our sympathies go to you and the loved ones that are involved with that. And Devrin was not allowed to be here today because he had to go back, right?
He had
to go visit with family. And there was a grandmother, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, it was his grandmother, and she was 101 years old. So she lived a phenomenal life, well-traveled, educated lady who was also very dear to me and really accepted me into the family. So God rest her soul. She had an amazing life, and really brought a lot of joy to our family.
And your family is back in Louisiana. Is that Baton Rouge?
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
So I teased with you before we went on the air and say, you really are Bayou Bengals,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
LSU Tigers, and you're in Georgia territory right now.
And now we're in Georgia. We have had to shift.
But if the two teams play, who would you be rooting for?
LSU.
Yeah.
The home team. Absolutely. But Kirby has done such a great job with those dogs. It's very exciting to see them play as well.
Now, to see a Baton Rouge girl come to Atlanta, what was it about Atlanta? You mentioned before we went on the air that you had a visit here. This was you when you were in college or right after college?
Absolutely, yes. So I came to Atlanta for a Southern University versus FAMU football game at the Dome. And I started to travel around 75, 85. And I said, I love this place. Everything about it. I'm just impressed.
The traffic, the smog, the humidity. You loved all of it.
I loved all of it because it was so different from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where it's a small city. Mm-hmm. So to come here, see the big, large buildings downtown, I was just highly impressed. And 3 months later, I moved here.
Wow. Boom.
Yeah, boom.
Decision made.
And I came here and I found me a job. My family member allowed me to live with her until I found a good job. And I did so within 10 weeks, started providing mental health services, and then got me a place to live. And I've been here ever since.
you mentioned Southern University. What was your role there? You were working for the university. Did you attend there and then afterwards?
I sure did. I was basically raised on the Southern University campus. My mom was a teacher. My dad was the strength and conditioning and O-line football coach.
Okay.
And so when we moved to Kansas City, I knew that I was coming back to Southern University for school because that was my foundation. So then I got a bachelor's in psychology there and went on to get a master's in mental health and school counseling. And after that, after graduation, I moved here.
We'll go into the education and the mental health aspect. What an amazing field. They're always, even though you're learning something all the time and you're able to chart and document that, in my opinion, you're always learning something new.
Always.
The brain, whenever anybody figures out how well the brain works, that guy gets a Nobel Prize, pretty much, right? Or the lady.
Definitely.
What enticed you in terms of going in that direction in the first place? You said your undergrad was in psychology. Was there something about that science that captivated you and you just said, I want to learn more about it?
Yes. So at first I started out as a business major and I took my first required psychology class.
Psych 101.
Psych 101.
I think that's what it was, right? There's 800 people in the room.
It's 800.
Did you have your hat on backwards like all the guys in the back, or did you, in the front with all the different colored highlighters, the pens, the notebook?
That was me.
That
was me, because to be able to learn how the brain works and the understand why we behave the way that we do, that was so captivating. And so I'm like, do I really want to do business, or am I really interested in helping people understand why they do the things that they do, why they feel the way that they feel, and why do they respond to certain things the way that they respond? Mm-hmm. So then psychology had just taken me.
It's captivating. It really is. Then you get involved with athletics. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my dad started the strength and conditioning program at Southern University in like 1992. So I did track and field. I was a SWAC champion in the women's weight throw. And after that, the strength and conditioning coach, he said, hey, I need an assistant. You've been in this weight room your entire life. What do you think about that? And I said, I would love to do it. So I trained men's, the football team, women's basketball, baseball. And that year, my baseball and women's basketball won SWAC champs.
Wow.
Won the SWAC championship. So
welcome to your success, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. No, really, I think that's fantastic. And then you're a part of this. Learning about the physical training, nutritional training, and then on the side, you're with your degree, now you're learning about the mental training.
Yes.
And I can't think of a coach that I've ever had that doesn't at least use some form of that, you know, air quote, coach, to motivate and to get people to do stuff that they wouldn't normally want to do, or they wouldn't want to achieve more. I'm pretty good at this. No. There's much more in you. We got to get it out.
That's right. And that's what coaches do.
And that followed up with you in terms of now you've got your doctorate a few years later.
Okay.
And how does that apply to what the athletics teach about training people and how to get the most out of them?
Yeah. So it first starts with the mind. You know, how am I going to be the best player, best athlete that I can possibly be? You have to shape your mind first, and then your body will follow. So all the your training, all of your skill building, your agility, all those things start with your ability to think and your ability to create goals and standards for yourself and just really be able to execute on both levels.
I'm really not as smart as you, so I'm just going to dumb it down a little bit. Okay. Is there any truth to the saying, your body will do what you tell it to
Absolutely.
Do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you tell your body, hey, I'm not working out today, you're not going to work out.
You're not going to want to work out.
You're not going to work out. But if you tell yourself, I'm going to do the best that I can, I'm going to get me 10 reps in.
Or I'm going to train to be a champion, a SWAC champion, or wherever you are. I'm a human champion.
Absolutely.
The champion of my family.
That's right.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right. Now, Takiya, you are co-CEO of the Turnaround Community Outreach. Let's talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind. Who's the other? Your co-CEO. Who's the other partner with you?
It's my husband.
Oh,
it's my husband.
Known that.
Okay. The great Davin Gerrels. So my husband and I, we are the co-CEOs of Turnaround Community Outreach. Let's say in March of 2020, there was a mental health business acquisition in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I said, hey, what do you think about taking over this organization? I think together we can do well, we can service the community, and we can provide employment to multiple counselors. And so we purchased the business. We've had it now for almost 3 years. And we've really been able together to impact several lives, whether it's our clients, our staff, and just the community in general.
Who is your target market when you use the term mental health and the outreach they're involved with that? Who are you looking to help and to improve the lives of?
Everyone. Anyone who's battling with some type of mental illness, we are here to support. So children ages 5 to 75, we definitely have a lot of children.
So I fit within that category because I'm under 75, so I am a child. Mike will tell me that all the time.
Yeah, so you do fit within that category. So anyone who comes to us, even if we don't accept your insurance, we will make sure that we provide you with some level of care and get you the referral that you need or any community resources that you need. So just, we want to help anyone.
Now, you mentioned the business. So back in Louisiana, was there a franchise that was up for sale? Tell us a little bit about that, the acquisition and your part of that.
No, there was a female owner of the company, and she was just exhausted because she really ran the company alone. And she said, I want to sell it. She told my mother-in-law about it, and my mother-in-law brought it to our attention. I went to Louisiana. I learned every single aspect of the business, from the intake to billing to referrals, every aspect of the business. And so my husband and I agreed, and we started, to take the leadership role directly afterwards. So
Takiyah, was there a magic moment in that process to where you said, I see where the previous owner may have made a couple mistakes? I'm not being disrespectful, but I think I can do this and I can make this better. What was that magic moment for you?
The magic moment, when we're training and I'm like, oh man, I'm looking at these documents and I'm seeing where I can actually help the clinicians become stronger clinicians, providing them with more training so that they can provide our clients with better services just based off of documentation. Other than that, she did a great job. Mm-hmm. Someone's running a $1 million company like that. She did a great job, but there were some things where I felt like it could be improved. But the difference with me and Davrin, he's an engineer and I'm a licensed professional counselor. The difference is having an owner that's clinical.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of difference because we have the clinical aspect. Everything is strong there. We have interventions. We have the strategies that our clients need. So I think that's what makes it better, is me being an actual licensed professional counselor instead of just a business owner owning mm-hmm. a mental health agency.
Yeah. Well, I would think the two heads are better than one. Your ability to think things thoroughly through and say, I've looked at all the different options, and I think we have the ability to go down all three of these and be a success. And then Devrin's, I would imagine, his advantage is that, okay, I know how to get it done. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yes, and that's what makes us a great team. And we really split the business in half. He does the operations, the finance, and then I'm able to take care of the clinical component and supervising our staff. And then together we have a successful organization.
Yeah, so it really appears like the personal touch would allow for you to be uniquely different than some of the other mental health and outreach types of programs that are out there. What distinguishes you and makes you guys different?
We're really holistic. So we have our psychiatrist on board. So if medication management is needed, then you can go see our psychiatrist for that. Case management, if there's any linkage that you need in the community, whether it's food banks, clothes, rental assistance, any of those things, we're able to support you there. We have individual therapy. We have group therapy, substance abuse, outpatient treatment. So I think with us being holistic, we're able to help and serve our patients in a holistic manner.
Mm-hmm. Is there a specific event or a trauma that most people, everyone's different, I understand that, and uniquely so. But is there something that you guys try to target in terms of, I think this is where, we need to find out a little bit more about you as a patient, and we're going to try to help you as Turnaround would, by the names, that we're going to try to take a bad series of events that are going on right now and get you in a 180 and spin you to the point where you can be a productive, successful, wonderfully included individual into the rest of the community. But what are you looking for to identify? Or is there an identifier that you go, yeah, most people that we visit with had something happen in their lives. Mm-hmm. We try to bring that out to where it's no longer a trauma.
Yes.
But it's something that we can now identify. We know it was bad, mm-hmm. but you're okay now. And we're going to try to get you into your tomorrows in a more successful way and not relive the trauma of your past. Is that kind of a goal that you would
have? That's the ultimate goal. Okay. Are you a psychologist? You did an amazing job.
Well, I was in that 101 class, remember? But I was had my hat on backwards in the back with my feet up.
Look, you should have been in the front with your highlighters because that was a great
sitting
job.
Next to you. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
That's what we do. That's the goal. So whenever our clients come in, they receive a behavior health assessment. There we are unpacking. We're trying to figure out where the trauma stems from, when did it occur, how is it affecting you now, what type of impairments has it caused, whether it's occupational, at school, socially, and then we develop a treatment plan, and this treatment plan really guides and navigates the treatment. So we're going to create goals. What are your goals for your trauma? I would like to eliminate flashbacks and intrusive thoughts. Okay, great. All right, so what are your objectives? Over the next 60 days, we're going to learn 4 to 5 coping skills to help reduce trauma, okay? And then we have interventions. We're going to be working on narrative writing, cognitive coping, cognitive restructuring. So that's our process and that's our flow in order to treat our patients.
Interesting that education is obviously, in my opinion, a vital part of what you're doing. In other words, if you don't know what's affecting you or how it's affecting you, then we're going to have a hard time trying to heal you.
For sure.
So here's what happened. Explain it. Most people already know, but here's why it continues to be a problem. You keep going back there.
Yes.
You keep reliving this in a way where you don't have to. Do you realize that, right? I guess so. Teaching people about what are the steps or the progression in terms of healing, and allowing them to go, oh, I get it. My wife had a book called What to Expect When You're Expecting. It was a birthing book that tells you day by day, week by week, month by month, where a woman can be in terms of her pregnancy.
Okay.
And what to expect. Why are you going through these cravings? And when she can read about it and know ahead of time, you know, I'm really craving a burger right now. Pull off the road. I'm hungry. I want to eat right now. Well, most men are, okay, I'm going to pull you over, but we don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And when the wife says, I know exactly why. There's something that's happening, development in the baby that is causing me to crave protein or carbs or whatever.
Yes.
I imagine that in the mental health process, there's a certain what to expect when you're expecting for the result aspect of that. And again, I mentioned the education just a second ago.
Right.
What do you offer in terms of being able to help people with their next steps? Mm-hmm. There's a follow-up. I'm not just going in one time, am I?
No. You're absolutely not. There is a follow-up. So we usually treat patients for 6 months at a time so that we can get down to, you know, the process and what's next and what to expect and what you should and how to cope with triggers and how to avoid certain circumstances and to know what's next. What's next? But psychoeducation is important because if you are suffering from bipolar disorder or anxiety, it's important to know where it stemmed from. It's important for us to educate them on symptoms and things that need to, and the treatment that they need in order to overcome and heal from these things. So it's a process. And for some patients, it may be a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yes. And some patients we've had for 2 years, depending on the severity. So for 6 months, we would may work on the depression. For another 6 months, we may work on the trauma. For another 6 months, we may work on your anxiety. So, or a combination of all. So,
And to be fair, some people only need 6 or 7 days
some
to
people,
figure that out.
That's right.
Some need months and months because the damage is deep and they don't know how to address it. Or you mentioned the depression. I would imagine fear. There's an anxiety. There's you mentioned the depression, but somewhere in there, there's a truth also. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to really understand what's going on. This was bad.
Yes.
And instead of being in denial, like if that was the word I was denial. Yeah. No, it didn't happen. It most men would say, I'm okay.
How did you know?
Yeah. And then you as a lady got to go, no. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes through it.
Everybody does.
And we're here to help you. But you don't know how to get help because you're too busy in the denial stage to get to the next stage.
And sometimes that stage takes a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when guys like me go, no, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. And everybody around you goes, yes, there is something wrong with you. We need to help get that fixed.
And usually it's the family that can identify the issues first because they're the ones that are around you. So it's good to bring in the family so that they can let us know their perception of the issue.
Oh, no. You he's not telling you the whole truth and nothing but the truth right now.
Yes.
You're right.
It helps so much with the process when the family's able to give us a little insight of what the patient is really dealing with. And then we can really work from there because we have more information.
I would imagine that most people, there's a pain, right, mm-hmm. a trauma, and then they want to feel better. So the addiction aspect of that, or at least even if it's not a physical, a chemical, an alcoholic addiction, but there's a denial addiction,
yes.
possibly, in
yes.
some cases. You try to bring that out as well and then get, okay, you're in this process right now and you've been stuck here for a week, a month, a year, a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get you
transition.
Out of it.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's our goal. Let's get you out of that and let's get you into a realistic mindset. This did occur. This did occur. Let's accept it. Acceptance is the next step. And then from acceptance, you can go into the healing process. So there are steps almost like grieving. You have to go through anger, bargaining with the circumstances, and then into acceptance, and then you're able to maintain from there. Mm-hmm. And you're able to just grow and know that whatever took place in your life, you're able to move on from it.
Now, just about everybody has had an event, I would imagine.
Yes.
Me getting rejected at the prom by the pretty girl that didn't want to go with me. That's not a overall trauma, but it just as an example. Everybody is full of life stories that happen where, this didn't go my way. Or especially when you mention family, a physical or verbal abuse, like you're not very good. Or a coach saying something to you that could really affect you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a positive aspect of that. The coach he believed in me. I'd go through a brick wall for him. And there's other times where the guy doesn't believe in you, and it can be very detrimental.
Right.
Everybody has something. So there are people that are in mental health positions where they can hardly function in society.
Yes.
Those are people that you can work with. But they're also your CEO level. They're business people that are going, I haven't told anybody, but I really am struggling with this. And people know that there's something going on. There's a tick that somebody has you say a certain word in a business meeting and they go off.
Yes.
Your range of being able to help people from the spectrum of from one side to the other, from left to right, people that everybody, there's really nobody that you would say, no, we're not interested in helping them, is there?
No, not at all.
Your market is enormous.
It's enormous. It's from CEOs, entrepreneurs, to working, people who aren't able to work due to disabilities, we're able to service them. Now, one thing we do, if I know that you have a certain economic status, we may place you with a licensed clinician or the psychiatrist where they can really understand where you are coming from and be able to help you even more so, because we have licensed clinicians and then we have non-licensed clinicians.
Okay.
So based off of their expertise, that's how we will make sure that those people are serviced.
Once again, Takiya Geralds with Turnaround Community Outreach is our guest here today. Takiya, I would imagine that there are privacy issues. I don't want anybody to know. How do you handle things like that?
Oh, confidentiality is one of the our primary objectives. So first you sign an informed consent, and we let you know that everything, before we even start our session, let you know that everything that's said in the session is confidential.
It's like Las Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? What happens in this
office stays in this office. So,
however, you also have occasions where you bring in family members, but right. that's obviously with permission of everybody involved,
and that's
correct?
In the and that's in the release of information. So you they'll create a list of the people who they don't mind sharing this information with, and so we'll bring those people in accordingly based off of the client and, you know, the information that we need and how the family needs to support the patient. So yeah, family members, they are a part of the healing process.
Yeah. But later on, let's heal you first, but then let's bring in the family to make sure that
they know
that you're wounded or healing, you're still in need. The healing process is continuing, and yes. so they don't beat up on you at a time when you shouldn't be beat up on.
Right, and so that they know, like, the different warning signs and your triggers, and they can avoid those things and help you through the process, because the family needs psychoeducation as well.
Yeah.
Yes, so if they can understand your
Not everybody was in a Psych 101 class.
Not everybody was there, so that's our role, to educate the family and the patient on what's taking place and how everybody can cohesively help the client to improve their quality of life.
What are the characteristics that you see in some of the people that go, I need help, but they don't take that next step and call you or address it? Is there anything in particular that you can offer in terms of, look, everybody has some sort of issues
Everyone
that they're dealing with.
Yes.
A divorce, a pain point of any kind.
Right.
What would be the best client for you that is, one, able to admit that I have a problem, right?
That's right.
Is that step one?
That's step one. Being able
I recognize that I have an issue. Now, mm-hmm. some people will, again, denial, they won't come to that step.
No, not at all.
There's nothing wrong with me. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Move on. Right? Move yes. on. There's nothing to see here. However, but understanding, yeah, there kind of is an issue. Mm-hmm. And what does it take usually for somebody to step through that door? I'm sure there's a lot of fear or nervousness about, you know, actually admitting that mm-hmm. to a person like you. But you're there to help. So
it starts with rapport. Once your client knows that you are there for them and you want to protect them, and whatever they say stays in that office, then they start to feel comfortable. This is about you. This is about the improvement of in your life. It's about us, like, unraveling things that could possibly be wrong. So once they feel like they are comfortable with you, then they're able to be relaxed and say those things and unpack. So if they don't feel that, then they're probably going to stay in the denial stage. But also the right questions need to be asked. Okay,
yep.
Like let's talk about this. Now at work, is there anything going on there? Will you feel, you know, impaired or anything? Socially, are you socializing? No, I'm not. Why not? Because I don't feel like it. Okay, go deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really the probing that gets people to talk and to feel comfortable. But as a therapist, the rapport is so important, to the point where you can either move forward or your patient will be stagnant based off of how you treat them and make them feel.
Yeah, I would imagine the listening process is critically important for that.
And body language. We have to be able to look
oh,
at
yeah.
the body language.
Right.
Like, okay, he's a little uptight. Okay, let me find some ways to help him to relax. So deep breathe. Let's just go through some deep breathing.
Yeah.
I want you to think clearly.
Because it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah. But you don't act. I'm sensing right now that you're having issues talking about something like this.
Yes.
Now,
this is a safe space.
Yeah. Now, imagine you would be a great clinician, but you have others there. How many different folks do you have working with you?
Currently, we have about 34 clinicians.
Wow.
Yes. So I'm
male and female.
Male and female, majority female. We would love more male.
Do more guys enjoy visiting with ladies about the problems, or do they, no, I can't go over that? Is there an issue in terms of gender that you found that most people would prefer to either talk with somebody with the same gender, or is it cross-gender? I'm sure it's both, but more often than not, what do you know?
More often than not, males prefer male clients, and females prefer female clients, and vice versa. You have some people who don't have a preference, but we do ask preferences.
Okay.
Yes, it's a part of our SNAPs, your strengths, your needs, your abilities, and your preference. And if it's a female, we notice that they usually like, you know, a female therapist.
And if a therapist says, you know, I'm really not connecting with this person, maybe someone else, is there kind of a tag off with that?
It sure is. So we have 34 different people. So if you notice that, then we'll address it with the patient. How do you feel about us, you know, transitioning you into a relationship with another clinician? They're like, okay, that's fine. And so then we'll see how that works. So we're able to refer. And then if you're a clinician and you don't feel like, you know, someone is dealing with schizophrenic or psychosis symptoms, and that's not your expertise, you definitely want to refer them out or refer them to one of your teammates that's on our team.
Takiya, you and Devron are co-CEOs of Turnaround Community Outreach.
Yes.
Is there anything that we didn't discuss here in the last few minutes that, you know, here's one other part of what we do that I love waking up in the morning and doing.
Yes. I love waking up in the morning and just really following through with our mission. And our mission at Turnaround Community Outreach is to provide quality service to every person, every time, just increasing their mental health and well-being across the board. So whenever we are able to see our patients go through the discharge process because they have completed their goals and they can go out into society now and live life independently without depending on their counselor, they have all the skills and they're equipped to now be discharged and to live independently without our services, that feels so good.
There's a celebration.
That's a celebration.
You have like a birthday party.
It's
for somebody.
It's like a birthday party. Like, they did it. They achieved their goals. They have the interventions and the tools that they need to be amazing.
And knowing that they're not going to be stress-free, right? There's going to be other incidences, but you've learned how to handle
them. You've learned how to handle it. Yes. So I think that's our mission, and to be able to employ as many people as possible and provide them with what they need in training our staff, figuring out who has leadership potential and who we can groom into being the clinical director or the medical director or even the new business administrator. So how can we groom our staff?
Now, if I don't have a degree in psychology, would I still be welcome at Turnaround Outreach?
Yes.
Because there's obviously different roles that you have.
We do.
Talk about who you like to employ or hire and what you're looking for in terms of personality for people.
Yes, so definitely.
It would help, obviously, if you had a master's in theology and degrees left and right on psychosis and different breakdowns of how people think and work and all that. But
yes.
It's not necessary, is it?
It's, yeah, not all the time. Like for therapy, of course, we would like licensed clinicians.
Yeah.
But outside of that, if you have a business degree, okay, hey, we have a business aspect that you can learn how the operation side of the company works. If you have, let's say, administrative, like that's an entire role there, learning how to enroll patients, keeping up with their charts and their documents, ensuring that their privacy and the confidentiality of their treatment is being upheld, then there's a, you know, working space for you. But we want some interns and who we can groom. Right now we're looking for college students, you know, in their intern and practicum level, so that we can groom them into being great psychologists and social workers and mental health professionals.
Now, where are you located?
We're located 2576 Lawrenceville Suwanee Road, Suite 201. That's Suwanee, Georgia 30024.
Now, how would people get in touch with you? Is there a website? Do you have phone numbers?
Yes. Okay.
Share that.
So our website is www.turnaroundlives.com. And we're also on social media. If you type in Turnaround Community Outreach, we will be right there.
Awesome. Oh, phone number one more time.
Okay, our phone number is 678-731-7727. And once again, you all, it's Turnaround Community Outreach, 2576 Lawrenceville Suwanee Road, Suwanee, Georgia.
Turnaround Community Outreach. Takiyah, thank you so much for being here. I know Divian was not able to be here. I met him. We were talking a little bit about football. He's an Ole Miss guy. Now, you're a Baton Rouge girl, Southern girl.
Yes.
And you end up meeting this Ole Miss Rebel guy, and you fell in love. Awesome. You moved to Atlanta. Yeah. Now, you met here. Is that right?
Yes. Well, we actually met. We're both from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and then he went to Ole Miss to play football. We met in Baton Rouge, and then 10 years later, we reunite here in Georgia. We get married, and now we are business partners, best friends, and husband and wife.
And the athletic portion, that carries on. You've got a son?
Yes.
How old's your boy?
He's 15 years old.
And he's a stud now, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, he does.
Just saying, right? Yeah. I heard it through the grapevine. And all the best. And he's football, basketball, baseball,
he's
all of
football.
Them?
He's football. Yeah, so Deuce Gerald's plays for Collins Hill. He's an outstanding athlete, but most of all, an outstanding student with a 3.7 GPA. We're just proud of him across the board.
Did you make him sit in the front of the class with the highlighters and the tape recorder and all the notes?
He sits in the front of the class. Yeah, we've always stressed that because you learn there's limited distractions at the front of the class. So just overall, he's a great kid, and we have a two-year-old. And we believe that he's next in the pipeline for greatness.
Golden children everywhere.
Golden children everywhere.
Deuce. And what's your littlest one?
Dallas Gerald's.
Do you ever get mad and just run out of D's with Devron, Deuce, and Dallas? All of you, just get the house clean. Let's go. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Takiyah, thank you for being a guest with
us
today.
And thank you for having me, Harper. This was amazing.
Really enjoyed it and learned a lot. And I also realized that I don't know nearly as much as I should, right? We're always learning in terms of mental health and what the brain is capable of doing. It's just amazing.
Yes.
Well, thank you again.
And thank you.
Appreciate that. Takiyah Gerald's been our guest from Turnaround Community Outreach, and we're thankful for her. And we're also thankful for our friends at Regions Bank. We're here to help your business and their financial future stay on track. Regions Commercial Banking has a team of experienced bankers in Gwinnett who can guide you in all areas of your growth. Get the resources that you need so every step that you take would be moving you closer to your business goals. Learn more by visiting their online site, Regions Community Bank, or regionsbank.com/commercialbanking. Regions Bank, member FDIC. Well, that's it for today's show. Mike, behind the glass here at our studios here at the Sonista Hotel, has said it is time to part. We've got to move on and get ready for the rest of the day. We hope you have a terrific one. We want to thank you for tuning in to Business Radio X here today. For Stephen, for Mike, I'm Harper LaBelle. Thank you for tuning in, folks. Have a wonderful rest of your day.